All right, we're going to 1 Kings chapter 18. And we will read 40 verses. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into all the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou my lord Elijah? And he answered, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks, and let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you 1 bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near, and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. I've spoken on this passage before. Not going to preach the same sermon that I have in the past, but there's one thing that I would like to focus on tonight. And we'll dive into a little bit of the subject of signs also tonight as we study this subject. Israel was not in a good place in this chapter. Ahab and Jezebel, running the nation, were wicked people. And when wicked people run a nation, they promote wickedness in the people. The nation of Israel was not good. God said to Elijah, shortly after this, a few days after this, he says, I've got 7,000 people in Israel who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. He said, I've got 7,000. Now, whenever you read the counts of the children of Israel, we're talking 1 million people in the army. And that's not women and children. So we're talking about a nation with some millions of people, most likely. And God said to Elijah, I have 7,000 people in Israel. So the bulk of the people of Israel did not know God. They were not following him. But if you had gone to them at that moment and asked them about the Lord, they would have told you he was their God. Most of them would have. But if Ahab had said to most of those people, come do something in honor of Baal with me, they would have gone with Ahab to do something in honor of Baal. They were serving the Lord and they were serving Baal. They believed in the Lord because he had been the God of Israel. And just as any nation who understands and knows a little bit about God, it's hard to shake him off. There's one way that we try it these days. We try to become atheists and we spend all of our lives trying to be atheists because it's pretty hard, because we know there's a God. And we write books against the God that we're against because we know he's there, but we want to be an atheist. Atheists believe in God too. They just say they don't. But these people of Israel, most of them believed in God. There were a few people probably who did not believe in God at all. They thought Baal was it. But most of the general people of Israel, they believed in God and they believed in Baal. They didn't know which side of the fence they were on. And when Elijah came, he said to them, How long halt ye? between two opinions. Now, I am not talking tonight to a group of people who believes in God and Baal. I am talking tonight to a group of people who solidly 100% believe in God only. But some of you guys are struggling with the same thing that the nation of Israel was struggling with on this day, that you've got two opinions. If you come to this church and you sit in these chairs and you get a firestorm like Brandon in the pulpit preaching, you agree with him. You know he's preaching the Bible and you agree with him. But the next day when you're out with your liberal friends who don't follow hardly anything that the Bible says, you agree with them too. You've got two opinions. You believe in conservative Christianity because you know it's right because you were raised that way. But you also believe in liberal Christianity because it's fun and all your friends are there. And the fact of the matter is 90% of the time throughout the ages of Christianity, if you're going to have two opinions, one for God and one against God, when you are in the opinion of for God, you're going to stand with a person or a small group of people. And when you're in the opinion of not for God, you're going to stand with the rest of the world. So it doesn't always make a lot of sense to you if God is really true and if his word really teaches holiness. How come there's nobody over here on his side? How come everybody's over here? It makes it hard sometimes, and especially some of you young people who like to have friends and you like to be popular. I'll tell you, if you're going to follow God, you've got to choose your friends, because most of the people that you meet are over here on this side. They're against God. Most of the people you meet. You'll meet one here and one here and a couple here, spread out across your lifetime, who will influence you to follow God more closely. And most of the people that you meet in your life will drag you down, whether it's to the world or whether it's to atheism or whether it's to who knows what. They will drag you down because most of the world is not set to follow God. And Elijah said to the people, "How long are you going to be lame?" That's what he said. To halt has about three different basic meanings in the dictionary. One meaning, if you're marching and you halt, you stopped. Okay? If you are limping, you're halting. Or if you are hesitating, that's the context we have in here, hesitating between two opinions, because we're not talking about the feet now. You're in an indecisive moment. But all three of those meanings have the same basic idea to them. If we're talking, if you halt, what you could be doing with your life has ceased. You have stopped. You can have all the opinion you want about God. You can go to the right church. You can be members at the right church. You can say amen to the right preacher. You can read the right Bible. You can read the right books. You can burn the wrong movies. You can do whatever you want on one side. But if you've got another opinion in your life that also embraces something of Baal, or something of the world, or something of the flesh, what you are doing with your life spiritually is void. You will go nowhere, you will be nothing, you will not raise kids to be anything when we're talking about eternal things. Now I want to stop and think for a moment here. There was a whole crowd of people, we have no idea how many. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go gather all Israel together." Now, I don't know exactly how many of the people Ahab got to come. I doubt there was 2 million people on the mountain. But Elijah had said, "Go gather all Israel," and said Ahab went and got them. So there was a lot of people there. Now, I want you to stop and think for a moment that the people who came to see what Elijah was going to do on that mountain that day, they didn't all have cancer. They were not laying in beds in hospitals. Okay? They were married. They had kids. They had houses. They had gardens. They had goats and sheep. They didn't have pigs. Maybe some of them did. They weren't supposed to. Everything was going right for them except the famine. There was a famine in the land, and everyone was suffering because of the famine. But on every other account, if they compared themselves neighbor to neighbor, everything was fine. And when Elijah came to them and he said, "How long halt ye?" they could have looked at him and said, "What are you talking about? I'm not lame." You know, when a preacher stands up in the pulpit to preach, if he's preaching the Word of God, he is not trying to help you succeed in this life. He's trying to help you succeed in eternal things, which are the only things that count. So if you're listening to me tonight, and you are a person who is pulled in two different directions, I'm telling you tonight, the Bible says you are lame. You're limping. You're at a standstill. You're not going to go anywhere. You're hurt. Now I want you to notice a couple of interesting things here. Elijah said to the people, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. When he brought them face to face with the problem of their lives, that they believed in both God and Baal, they had nothing to say. They didn't answer a word. But then he talks again. And he says, "We're going to get bullocks, and we're going to dress them, and we're going to put them on two altars, and we're going to sacrifice one to God, and we're going to sacrifice one to Baal." And he says, "The God that answers by fire, he'll be our God." At that time, the people said something. It says, "And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken." Now I want to tell you something about the people that day. They didn't know. They didn't have a clue what they were saying. They didn't want to answer Elijah when he faced them to make a choice between God and Baal. They didn't want to answer him. But when Elijah was going to offer them an easy sign between God and Baal, they would accept it. But they were dead wrong. They were dead wrong. Let me tell you something. God had sent Elijah to the people. He had told Elijah to do what Elijah was doing. He had sent Elijah to call fire down in the sight of the people. He had sent Elijah to turn the people back to him. But the only way that it was safe for the people to say to Elijah, "It is well spoken," is if they were talking to Elijah. You know, the prophets of Baal could have come and could have rigged this situation, and they could have said, "Let's do this and prove that Baal is true," and they could have given the nation of Israel a sign. And if the nation of Israel had said, "It is well spoken," they would have all followed Baal. The only safety that they had in the situation was the fact that they were talking to Elijah, but they put no stock in who he was anyway, because if they had been listening to Elijah, they didn't need the fire. They didn't need the fire to follow God. They needed the Word to follow God. But because they were not really that interested in following God's Word, they wanted something else to help them out. I'm going to show you from the scriptures how dangerous of a situation these people were in when they said, "It is well spoken." in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13. It says in the beginning, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and that sign or and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put away evil from the midst of thee. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass." Now why, how might somebody who is not of God come to the people and hold out a sign to them, a miracle we're talking about now? We're not talking about some oddity that might happen anyway. We're talking about a miracle. He holds out a miracle and he says, "Listen here, guys. When this thing happens, it's going to prove that such and such an image is our God." And God says to the nation of Israel, if somebody comes and he does that and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, guess what? God's putting you to test to see if you'll follow his word instead of man. And so you put that person to death who brought that sign or that wonder out. You put him to death because he's taking you away from the Lord, telling you to go worship another god. Now, if we go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, there's three things, there's three odd things that we have going on in this chapter with these people who are worshiping Baal. They build an altar to Baal, and they begin to pray to Baal. But there wasn't any... There was no voice, nor any that answered. And it says they leaped upon the altar which was made. Now let's go back to, we're going to do a lot of reading now because we've got to read from Genesis through the end of Deuteronomy. Can you guys stay that late tonight? No? Then I'm going to not be able to finish tonight. Well, I'll just tell you. I've already read it. And there is not one word in all of the Old Testament law, there is not one word that ever tells anybody that the religion of God includes leaping on the altar. All right, there's not one word. Now the prophets of Baal, they don't have to follow the word because the word wasn't written about the Baal religion. But it's funny then, how come they're offering a sacrifice to Baal? You know, they are following the word halfway. You know, almost all religions, to some degree, follow guidelines that God gave to man. Almost all religions, to some degree. So they believed that they should offer a sacrifice to Baal. What were they offering the sacrifice for? What was this? When we offered a sacrifice to God, it was to atone for our sins. What were they offering the sacrifice to Baal for? What was the sacrifice for?
Get him to speak.
Who knows? But they leaped upon the altar. Now, if we went to that church and we saw these Baal worshippers leaping on the altar, we would have said, "Where'd you get that religion?" Now, we could go into the scriptures and say, "False religion. Let's get out of here." Okay, that we don't need a sign. It's a false religion. And they cut themselves. They cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Now, did we find that in the law anywhere? Did we find that in the sacrifice story or in the worship of God? Was it necessary that we slash ourselves with knives when we serve God? Of course, those were the two small things.
Now we could set up a religion. We could write books on this, against this religion here, and major on those two items like many people do when they're trying to combat falseness. But the actual fact of the matter is, the problem was they were worshiping Baal. Now that's the major issue. They were worshiping Baal. Now the Bible had told them not to worship an image. The Bible had told them only to worship God. Only ever. And the children of Israel could have gone to the scriptures and they could have read the scriptures and they could have seen these prophets of Baal are wicked. They could have seen this whole religion is wicked. They could have said, Ahab and Jezebel, you're wicked. They could have said, everybody who's in this is wicked. And they could have, when Elijah came to them and said, if God is God, follow him. And if Baal is God, follow him. They could have said, we're following God because God is God. But they didn't. They said, we'll pick the one who gives us the fire. You know what? God knew people liked signs. And he told the children of Israel, he gave them a sign. He gave them a sign to help keep them right at all times. A sign that would never change. A sign that was always there. He gave it twice. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I believe it's chapter 11, we're just going to read in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou risest down, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. God here specifically in this passage gives the children of Israel simple instructions. Follow everything I told you to do. Love me with all of your heart and do not go after other gods. Now, of course, when we come to the book of 1 Kings and Ahab and Jezebel and the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove, and most of the nation at this time has utterly thrown Deuteronomy chapter 6 in their garbage can. They have utterly failed to listen to anything God said in this chapter. They have utterly failed to listen to the word. And God said to them, bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Bind them. Now, if we have the book of God in our hand all the time, if we know what it says, then we've got the sign. When we see people worshiping the image of Baal, we look at the book and it doesn't agree. And we say, it's wrong. Then we know we've got something unchanging in our hand that we follow forever, that we always follow, and that dictates to us how we live. And we can, with that book that we are holding in our hand,
figure out everything that Ahab is doing that's wrong. Everything that Jezebel is doing that's wrong. We can figure out that all the prophets of Baal are wrong. We can figure out that all the prophets of the grove are wrong. We can figure out that all the people who halt between two opinions are wrong. We can figure it all out because we've got the standard in front of us. That's our sign. That's a good sign to follow. In Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Now, we're taking these few verses out of a long sermon that Jesus preached to his people. And we're not going to go through everything that he goes through or necessarily take these exactly in all of the context of what he was talking about here, because what he gave here in these three verses, are simple principles that we can apply to any of our spiritual walk with God. The light of the body is the eye, okay? If we're going, in other words, talking about physical things, if we're going to see, we get our sight through our eyes. That's where the light comes in at. That's how we know what's around us and where to go. So if, therefore, your eye is single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, what does he mean by a single eye? Because we're starting with physical things, but we immediately jump here to spiritual things. When he says, if your eye is single, thy whole body shall be full of light. In other words, what he's saying is, in the physical world, the light comes in through the eye. But in the spiritual world, the light also comes in through the eye. And if the eye that you have is halting between two opinions, it can't let the light in. There's confusion. If the eye that you have is evil, if it's not set on one thing, if it doesn't love God only, if it likes the people of God and the people of the world, if it can't make up its mind if it's conservative or liberal, if it can't make up its mind if it wants to follow the Bible or the atheists, if it's single, it's full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now I got to tell you guys something. All you young people, let me tell you, if you ever have any confusion in your lives about what is the correct path of life, if you look at your parents and you say, well, mom and dad said this, but all my friends do this. My church taught me this, but all my friends do this. It seems like I've heard a lot of good sermons that teach this, but more people on earth believe this. If you look at all these different things and you feel confused, let me tell you, something is wrong. If you feel confused, you've got an evil eye. Because the Bible says if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, if God is the only person that you're trying to please when you look at these two things, it's clear, very clear, who is right and who is wrong. But if you love the world and the things of the world appeal to you and you're not living for eternal things, and the list goes on and on. I don't necessarily mean in all these cases that you're not a Christian, though some absolutely. But you may be a carnal Christian who's holding on to the world with one hand and trying to reach God with the other. And you're confused and you don't know. There's a problem with your eye.
And immediately, the next verse, he says, no man can serve two masters. Now, this is what we're talking about right now. Two opinions, two masters, two types of religion, two. Whose are you going to be? Are you going to be for God or are you going to be for Baal? Who are you going to follow? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. But let me go on here. You know what happens when a person gets to the place where the light that is in them is darkness? What do you guys do when you need to do something and it's dark? What do? You look for light. You look for light, right? You go to a light switch. You light a candle. You turn a flashlight on. You turn your headlights on. You do something. You find a light so you can see. If it's dark, you find a light. And so all the people who are halting between two opinions are always looking for light because it's dark. They're confused. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to be. They don't know who to follow. They're always looking for light. And so when Elijah said to the people, the God that answers by fire, let him be God, the people said, it is well spoken. There's light for us. There's information. Now they had all the information they needed. The Bible was crying to them in every word, the Lord was God. They knew the Lord was God. There was not one shred of evidence anywhere from any source that would have given Baal even an opportunity to be in the running for God. Yet they were holding on to him. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word. Now, if your eye is single, what's a single eye then? An eye that is based on the book. When the eye is based on the book and the God of the book, there's light. Now I want you guys to stop and think about fire for a minute, because God is a God of fire. God is a God made of fire. God is a God. God, our God, is a consuming fire, the scripture says. And if there's anything in the history of the scripture, as we read through the Bible, that God used as his own personal signature, it was fire. 12 examples I have on my paper. There may be more. Sodom. When God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, it was with fire and brimstone out of heaven. Moses stood before a bush that was burning with fire, but the bush wasn't burnt. God was in the bush. There was fire. When Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and began to show him the mighty works of God, the magicians, Pharaoh's people, the devil's men came and began to show Moses, Pharaoh, the mighty works of somebody who was not God. And Moses could throw his stick, just a stick, on the ground in front of Pharaoh's face, and it could become a living serpent when it hit the floor. And the magicians could come and they could throw their sticks on the ground, and they became a living serpent when they hit the floor. But as time went on and Moses was performing signs in front of Pharaoh, trying to show Pharaoh that God was the Lord, the magicians lost their power. They couldn't do everything that the Lord could do because God eventually stepped in and hindered. One of the things that God did was he sent a plague of thunder, fire, and hail, the same plague. It said that the fire ran along the ground with the hail. I have never imagined that ice could burn, or that fire and ice could live together in the same situation. But when it's the fire of God, fire can do anything. Now, for 40 years in the wilderness, God witnessed to the children of Israel that he was a fire with a pillar of fire above the tabernacle all night long for 40 years. Then there was Mount Sinai. It says God came down to the mount in a fire, and the top of the mountain burned with fire. And the children of Israel were afraid of God. They were afraid of the trumpets. They were afraid of the voice, and they were afraid of the fire. When Korah tried to lead the children of Israel away from Moses and away from God, and the earth opened up and swallowed him and his household, Korah had 250 people who took it upon themselves to do the service of the tabernacle. And at that time, those 250 men were by the tabernacle with censers in their hand. And it says the fire of God came and burnt them up. When the angel came to Gideon and told him that he was going to deliver the nation of Israel, Gideon told the angel not to leave. Let me get you something to eat. And Gideon ran in the house and made the angel an awesome meal and brought it out to him. And the angel said, put it on that stone. And Gideon set the meal on the stone, and he poured the broth over it. And the angel took a staff that was in his hand, and he touched the rock. And fire came out of the rock and burnt the meal up. I think it says it burnt the stone up too. I forget now. Then we have Elijah on Mount Carmel when he calls fire down onto the sacrifice. Immediately following this story, Elijah goes to Mount Horeb and is in a cave there, and God comes. And God goes past him when he's in the cave, and there's an earthquake, and there's a couple other things, and there's a fire. Then before Elijah dies, he never dies, before he goes to heaven, a chariot, horse and a chariot, burning with fire, come streaking through the air and separate Elijah from Elisha. Then Elisha is on the mountain, and he's not in a very good relationship with the king. I believe it's the king. And the king sends a messenger with 50 men to tell Elijah to get down to see him. And they come and say, oh, man of God. And Elisha says to them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire comes down from heaven and burns them up. And the king sends another 50 out. And Elisha does the same thing again. Fire comes down from heaven and burns them up. And you have in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes down, the whole church gathered together, they have tongues of fire sitting on their head. Fire was used over and over and over again by God, showing his power and showing his signs. It's going to be used again. If you go to Revelation chapter 13, it's going to be used again, but not by God. Revelation chapter 13 says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life, in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast both spake, and caused that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. You know, whenever God decides to do anything, the devil is right there beside him to copy. God wants religion. God gives the people the worship of himself. The devil comes along and he gives the people the worship of himself. God revealed himself, though, to his people as he was. And the devil's hiding. He doesn't reveal exactly who he is. He lies about who he is. He lies about what you're going to get if you worship him. But he's been forming a religion, a counterfeit religion that looks like the religion of God, way back from in the Garden of Eden. But one day the devil is actually going to come and actually communicate face to face with humanity, just like me and you are here tonight. And he's going to have his own Antichrist, his own prophet, his own God, that he's going to give to the people, and he's going to tell them to worship him. And one of the things that the devil is going to do at that time in the tribulation is that he is going to have his beast call fire down from heaven in the sight of men. I find that very ironic. Why is he going to use calling fire down from heaven? You know what? Watch what it says immediately after. He maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Does this bring you back to 1 Kings chapter 18, whoever answers by fire, let him be God. Whoever answers by fire, let him be God, Elijah said. And the people said, it is well spoken. And here comes the devil, and he says, fire! Now, make a beast and worship him. This is God. And the Bible says he deceives the whole world. But not quite. Not quite. There's one set of people that he doesn't deceive. If you go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 23 says, then if any man shall say unto thee, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus said here, before we go any further, remember back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Bind God's word onto your hand for a sign. Here it is, Matthew chapter 24. Bind it to your hand for a sign. Jesus said, when I return, everybody is going to see me. He said, if anybody comes to you and says, hey, Christ is back, he's over here, don't go, because when I come, you're going to see me. And so if we're listening to the word, now the Antichrist, the devil, the beast, whoever all those people are in Revelation chapter 13, the beast calls down fire from heaven, and it comes at his call. It comes. And then he says, make an image to the other beast, the first beast that had come first. He said, make an image of him. We're going to worship this image. And then the news starts spreading around. Jesus has returned. Come and see Jesus. He's in Jerusalem. We get our Bibles out and we read that Jesus said when he comes, everyone's going to see him. And so we say, oh, it's not Jesus, because we have a sign. We have a sign. We have something to stand on. And it doesn't matter what is happening in our universe. The next thing you know, scientists could be digging up God out of the Arctic, telling us they found the grave where God got buried years ago, recreating the story of how many billions of years old the earth is, because God died before anything got started here, apparently. The world here is not for God. They come up with all their stories, and you know what? The devil is standing behind them with great power, telling you people who are sitting here, right here, the devil is telling you guys everything that he can tell you against God, and you only have one place of safety. You only have one place. You are turned 100% in love to God, toward God, worshiping him only, kicking everything else you know and everything else anyone says behind, forsaking it all with one opinion, one love, one God, one book, one source of information. All you can do. If you do not have that basis for your Christian life, you have no basis for anything. You are halting. You're lame. When somebody comes to you and says, hey, the God that answers by fire will serve him. If it happened to be Elijah who walked up to you at God's command and said that to you, you may decide that the Lord is God. But if it's the devil who comes and walks up to you and says that, Baal's going to be God. You have no safety. You're lame. You can't think straight. You're dark. You're in darkness. Now, if there's anybody here who wonders sometime why we yell about these things over and over and over and over and over again. You know, most of the world, most of America, let's say, most of the Christian, the evangelical Christianity of our day right now, is in a place where they have absolutely no ability whatsoever to understand right from wrong. They have no ability whatsoever to understand where they plant their feet and where they stand. They are at sea. There's darkness everywhere. The bulk of religion today is completely departed from the scriptures to do their own thing. And the few people who are left trying to serve God When everybody else is leading the other direction, are standing against all odds by themselves, with their own best friends in their own little churches, wavering sometimes with the wind and the waves. There may be some people that are sitting in here tonight, right now. There may be some people who in the next 10 years of your life will be sucked in to the system that the devil is churning, never to recover again. You don't have to, but it's possible that you might go there if you don't know where to plant your feet. It's got to be on God's word, and it's got to be well planted, unchangeable, unmovable, unarguable. We are for God because of what He said. We're not following the world, even if we do get a sign of fire from heaven. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm not lame. You know, the people who are lame don't even need a light for their feet. They're not going anywhere anyway. Those of us who are up walking the Christian life, we need the light because we need to see where to go. We need the light at our feet, so we need to see where to go. We also need it for our path because we're going somewhere. How long will you halt between two opinions? We will dismiss.